December 2022. My name is Adrian and this is 1111 episode number 2. Our topic today is Mary Manicola interview.
This fake podcast has some fake sponsors. So please listen to the following advertisement which will now be selected at random from a row in our database. This episode is sponsored by
Podbot Door AI.
While we cannot answer those questions about every cafe that serves tabletop gaming, they are common questions asked in a lot of cafes. The defining feature of a tabletop gaming cafe is, obviously, gaming. I am talking, of course, about the gaming cafe, the modern era response to the stand-up comedy clubs, the shithook-up joints, and the shady dive bars. Our expansive board game cafes list indicates that 63 different countries have some sort of board gaming cafe, ranging from the US to Vietnam to Canada to Colombia, and all points in between. You might even find yourself visiting a board game cafe while you are in another city attending a tabletop gaming convention. Remember, although they are called board game cafes are, at their core, restaurants, so, if you are getting great service, think about asking them if they take tips. They would definitely appreciate them. If a cafe has employees who will be helping you with your gaming, then game fees also help to cover their time. Many cafes even have employees whose job is to help train customers on the games. Stick around to find out how you can help parents cope with math anxiety, so you can assist your kids back at home. So, this book really sets out how to communicate effectively with parents. And, honestly, of the more than 200 parents that we interviewed in both states and Canada, parents said that communication is simply never too much. When we say parents, we are talking about caretakers, guardians, anyone that supports kids beyond school hours. Assume good intentions, rally parents around you, treat them like partners, and that will make all the difference. I thought that five of us together can beat him down by the strength of our love. I think growing up in East Texas helped make that record resonate for me. Working on the record gave me the chance to bring out the emotions that are there, and that is always an end goal for any work of art. I like the albums really resonated with Austin folks, but I also wanted it to speak to everybody. I think most people who grow up in Texas will be able to recall a family trip to Galveston. It took a little bit for me to find my feet city, but once I found them, I fell more in love with Austin. Like I said, I was studying, but did not have a lot of direction. Other than one performance in college, both of us had never played in a band before, so we were kind of learning all of this together. We ended up getting featured on the CBS News show Boston and did a live interview on NPR. In 2014, Polly appeared as a guest on the CBS show, CBS Sunday Morning. The positive audience reaction to the segment led Polly to be hired as a contributor on the show later in 2014. In March 2009, Polly returned to the Today Show as a contributor, hosting the weekly segment, Your Life is Calling, sponsored by AARP, profiling individuals across the country age 50-plus reinventing their lives in new and different ways. In addition to his duties on Dateline, Polly also hosted Time and Again, a half-hour program broadcast on then-fledgling MSNBC, that chronicled big news stories using NBC News archives. In October 1989, after lengthy negotiations, Polly announced that, after 13 years, she was leaving NBC's Today Show on December 29, but that she would soon start working on other projects for NBC. Polly, who had been considering the switch, wanting more time with her three children, requested a settlement of her contract, but NBC refused. In 2004, she returned to television as host of The Jane Polly Show, a syndicated afternoon talk show distributed by NBC Universal. On April 27, 2014, after appearing on the Today in the Morning segment of the show, during Where Are They Now?, Polly began contributing to the program as a correspondent and occasionally a replacement host. Why Do Not They? Bonnie was mostly just going for aesthetics. We wanted an album that was goofy and funny. Exercise is not something that Matthew Barenevent is suggesting, but we are going for a few games and doing some fun math activities. There are a lot of great games in elementary school that are specific to math, or that incorporate math. The rare find of these boards shows it is one of, if not the oldest, games known to humanity. You do not need fancy boards to play Mancala. You can make them yourself, literally, using just paper and rocks. Most versions go by a variety of names, but all of them fit this type of Mancala play. If the players still have pieces left
on their sides after the Mancala is over, then they place those pieces in their Mancala. We will study cases where there are a number of kings and starting stones. It does not provide conclusive evidence for both a location of origin and an actual age for the game itself, as it is a game which could have been played by just digging temporary holes into the earth and using perishing seeds, leaving no archaeological record. In fact, asking the game its origins, the time and place it was invented, may be just as much an inappropriate question as asking where, when, and by whom it was first spoken.
This has been 1111, Episode 2. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this content, please follow us on social media. See you next time.